Amen. I love to read like you do. I love to read Psalms. There's not a person in a church anywhere, I think, that they haven't at one time just had a love for reading some part of the book of Psalms. And there's so many of it, so many portions that may be your favorite. I love Psalm 91, and many of you would say, yep, that's one of your favorite ones. Of course, the 23rd Psalm, I've taught on it so many times. It's beautiful in every respect there. And every now and then I'll come across something that just kind of shines a little brighter. It jumps out. And if I'm reading in the mornings and I'm going through and I'll come across a scripture that just stands out, I'll copy it real quick and paste it on the Notes app. And I might make comments under it, and that's where most of my Bible studies or sermons come from, is those little scriptures with notes. It'll jog my memory, or it'll open a thought process. And so I do that methodically. And so I put down this just not long ago, and I believe the verse was in Psalm, I know it was in Psalm 107, because I'm going to be reading only from there today. But it was one of the verses down near the bottom of where we're going to be studying. And basically the verse says that he turns a desert into pools of water. And it just stuck out to me to think a God that can take a desert, nothing grows in a desert. It's sandy and you can't plant. Sometimes cactuses grow, but who wants to cultivate that? But God can take a desert and change a desert. Yes. And what good is that? What good is that to the soul of man, except when we can understand the deeper meaning of what this word is saying? And God can take our life, our soul, our mind, our fears, and he can take a desert and he can turn it into pools of water. He can turn it into the greenest pastures. God can take anything and turn it into anything. God can. And what you look at one day that seems like a threat can be your victory the very next day. I was greeting a while ago everybody in the church, and I went up to Sister Butcher, and I said, and she said, Bob's not here, he's not feeling well. I said, Sunday, I enjoyed so much watching him worship. I said, 6 months ago, if I'd have said, he'll be here, would you have believed me? She said, there's no way I could have believed Bob would be here. But God has the key. Yes, he has a path already there. He didn't see the path until the wind blew the sand off of it and realized that path led to an oasis of strength and refreshment. God has a way. Don't ever write them off. Don't ever give up on those you're praying for. God always has the key. And that's really, literally the key, is God has it in his hand. He turns a desert into pools of water. Again, it's good to have Brother and Sister Nash with us. I don't think I mentioned them Sunday, but it's great to have them here. And their pastor is one of the greatest men of God that I know of. Brother Kenny Carpenter and Brother and Sister Carpenter, Penny Carpenter, just wonderful people. If they ever meet you, they know you for life and treat you like you're the greatest. And they're just wonderful people. And a wonderful, awesome church. Just a beautiful, beautiful new building there in there. It's just phenomenal. But it's good to have them here. I'm thankful that I feel better. That's my testimony. I am. I really do. I'm not just saying that. Sunday, I faked it a little bit. I had a worst headache I've had in a long time, and it just was booming with every word. And I'm so glad to not have that. So glad to be feeling truly better, truly better. Amen. It's just crazy how in the middle of summer I thought it was illegal. I think it is in some places to be sick with this kind of stuff. I don't think it's right, but it's here. But anyway, let's get into the word of the Lord. He turns a desert into pools of water. I'm going to start and read all the way through this, but I'll pause by the time we're done in, maybe 25 minutes. It shouldn't take a long time. I would like to go through these points. Verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." Anybody here not been redeemed from trouble? Raise your hand. You're here. You're here. And therefore, I would say you've been redeemed from trouble. Saw a picture the other day of some people having a good time. And one of those really hilarious Facebook photos. And I thought, that's not really a funny picture. They're just having a good time. Until I looked down and saw one of them had an ankle bracelet on. And it wasn't an ankle bracelet like, what would Jesus do or something like that. It was those electronic types. And I thought, okay, you're holding up a beer and you look a little out there and you got a bracelet that says you better stay close to home. And so I wondered, how good of a time are you having? I want to give thanks to the Lord because His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. I'm glad He's redeemed us from trouble. He can save you out of trouble. He can save you before you get into trouble. And in this psalm, another unique part of it is it's broken up into groups. And as you see it, and it goes through, 43 verses, but it's broken up into about five sections. And this first section is three verses, and it's just an introduction. And then it begins to list four examples of those whose circumstances required mercy. And it gives examples, and there's verses that are repeated in these first three groups. And so it says here in verse 4, some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry, thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Well, when you read this, your mind might wonder, who are these people? Here's the thing about God. God is the same everywhere, and He's the same every day. So it's not important if this is talking about the children of Abraham, the children of Israel in the wilderness, or if it's talking about Israel during the time of captivity, because we don't really know who wrote this psalm, and we don't know the date that it was written. We do on many psalms, but this one, I can't find an answer. Maybe you can. And so you have to realize that when it says some wandered in desert waste, we just have to know, yes, there have been some that had to wander in desert waste. Matter of fact, it's not a particular people. It could be you and me. We know what it's like to have wandered in desert places when we couldn't find anything to drink or we couldn't find anything to satisfy our soul or relief from our trouble. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. There is cause and effect. They cried out. God said, I'm going to help you out of that. But it doesn't give you a footnote. It doesn't go into detail and say, well, they deserved it. Don't you try this at home. They deserved it. We can't give you the reasons why, but they deserved it. No, it's the Word of God, and it's a blanket coverage. Amen? That's why you will see people be blessed, that if you waited out in your own human understanding, they may not have deserved the blessing they got, but our God is faithful, and He will bless somebody because they simply have the faith to call on Him and expect an answer. That's why the childlike faith can confuse so many people. There's people that have limited understanding, but they've got a lot of faith. And God honors the faith, and you see them carrying blessings, and you're going, how'd you get that? Because I couldn't do that. There's no way my God would do that to me. All right. That's why they got it, and I don't. Because I'm reasoning it out, and they're just, kind of loopy, thinking, I'm going to pray, and God's going to help me. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Here's the thing, is God leads us in circumstances that we sometimes put on a heading of, I think I've messed up and I don't know where my life is headed. And the whole time, God's got you going in the right direction. I know Ryan and Jess have a toddler, cute little girl. And I know that she doesn't always walk where they want her to walk. Why? I've been just checking in on them. That's because she's a toddler. Toddlers toddle. And they find things at their eye level and they want to grab them. And they'll say, well, not here. Nope, nope, go in there. Nope, that's the bathroom. They love the toilet. All toddlers love that toilet. And puppies, the dogs do too. But you know what you do? You just kind of get in front of them and nope, nope. And you guide them and guide them and guide them. And they'll have a made up mind. And I'm sure Miss Emma has shown a time or two that as sweet as she is, she's got a mind that's made up. Yeah. No matter how sweet they are, they're driven. They see something, they want it. All right? The Lord has given us this parental understanding to let us examine how our Heavenly Father is. And we're headed somewhere, and we think we hit a roadblock, and suddenly our plan didn't work out, and sometimes we have ourselves a tantrum. Not kicking and screaming in Walmart, but we have an adult type of tantrum where we start saying, why do things like this never happen to them and it always, always happens to me? We love the word always because this one situation we didn't have our way. He led them by straight way, meaning Lord knows what we need and He will lead you some way and get you into the right way. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. He's saying they need to acknowledge that it was God that led them there. Don't forget how you came out of your desert. You need to be sure you go back and thank God. Verse 9, for He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Amen. He satisfies the longing and the hungry He fills with good things. My first point that I just went through, the first four examples of those whose circumstances required mercy. I just want to give you my point so you can go, well, he's coming to a close. I think that'll help everybody out. So number two, some of them were in darkness due to their rebellion and lack of hearing counsel. Now listen to this. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So, what do you do with somebody that spurns the counsel of God? He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. The reason it says none to help is because when there's none to help, then we call on God. When there's none to help, then we say, Lord, you're my only out here. I need you. They received what they deserved and were afflicted in their actions. See, those are, where are they at in the Bible? We could go to seven or eight places off the tops of our heads right now and show you. Israel in rebellion in many places. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. God in his mercy led them into harsh circumstances until they repented. And people are people everywhere. They're the same. Our missionaries, when they go to foreign countries, they don't get new textbooks and instruction manuals to help that kind of people because you never know what they're going to do. There are people everywhere. It's the same thing. Human nature is human nature. God made us that way. So the Word of God applies to everybody. There's not a group of people in the world where the Old Testament is really their thing and the book of Romans is for these people in this country. No, we all got to have the whole thing because God in His mercy, He will lead us through harsh circumstances and He will cause us to repent if we don't repent with an easy touch, if we don't repent with a gentle hand. Verse 13 says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Verse 15, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Now, you may have already picked up on the fact that verse 8 said, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men, is exactly what I just read in verse 15. One of the things that intrigued me about this psalm, it's repeated two more times. You'll listen for it. Verse 16, for He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Sister Butcher, the Lord cuts the bars of iron. He cuts the bars. When we see a person and they're bound and they're locked up, and she said, I would ask him, going to church? Nope. Can you go with me tonight? Nope. 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 She'd come to church and say, Brother McGuire, just pray for him. I don't know. Just pray. And you know, I didn't, in my mind, didn't say, I'm going to pray and you just better get ready because something's about to happen. No, because I'm flesh. Yeah. And I know human nature. And I thought, this is going to be a tough one. Do you realize that you can pray with imperfect faith? Let's just figure that everybody knows what a pie chart is, right? Don't want to get you off on a hunger thing here, but a pie chart. And cut it into eight pieces. And let's say your faith is about 1/8 of that pie chart. The rest of it, human reasoning, shadowy doubt, and question marks. But 1/8, that's you. And so my wife and I say our faith is similar. So she has an 1/8 and I have an 1/8. And well, together we pray. We still are 7/8, each of us 7/8 in doubt. And so we ask Kevin and Cindy here to help us pray. And guess what? 1/8, 1/8. We all have that faith, but we also have it kind of counterweighted against our human reasoning. But we have a little bit of faith. It's kind of grain of a mustard seed type thing. But if we get together, if we get enough people together, what begins to happen is it's not that all those 8s finally make up a whole person's faith. It's that just the fellowship and the counsel, we begin to talk ourselves out of our doubt and we start saying, my God is able. I know what he did. I know what he did. I know what he did. And before long, she's not an 1/8. She's a 1/2 and I'm a 1/2 and we're growing and our faith is beginning to diminish the doubt because we got together with someone else. Stay by yourself and you're not going to have your prayer answered. But go to somebody else and tell them about it. And even though they may not see it with their eyes, they got enough faith. They got enough just to get it going and get it started. And you're going to see a prison door open. You're going to see the bonds break. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Because you believed that God would do that. Let them thank him for his steadfast love. Now, my third point or heading is the foolish here suffered affliction. All right. Now, okay, God's able and God's wonderful. He's great and good, and his word is always true. Yes. His love endures forever. All right. But if I'm foolish, I'm negating a lot of what God is needing to do. Right. If I do something foolish, I'm sorry, that's on me. Yeah. That's on me. I just can't help that. And people get themselves into some tough situations. They get into cycles. They get outside the realm of the law. They do something a little sketchy. They get somebody to help them who's more than a little sketchy. They both get caught. They both get put in the same jail as if they both were complicit in what they did. When they get out, what are they going to do? Well, what do we know to do? Criminals, sometimes they go back to crime because that's what they know. I'm talking about a cycle. A cycle. When we go outside the lines. Spiritually, the application is here. I talked about the process on Sunday, I think. If it wasn't this Sunday, it was at some point because I have this foggy memory about it. But serving God is a process. And if we can't wait on the process, we are at a disadvantage to life. We have to wait on the process. And it's going to be some dry times out there as Elijah went through. We're going to have to just wait on God. And the day's coming for victory and running down the mountain with a message. But we've got to go through some times of just the mundane day in and day out of I'm going to keep living for God. I'm going to be faithful to him no matter what. The word of God, my prayer time, my study, being an example, living a holy life and not taking an exit ramp just because I'm not having fun. That's foolish. That's immature. I have to just live for God the right way. And before long, my answer will come. Now, very important, this point right here, and it's not deep at all. It's like that. Whatever you need, I know I say this probably almost every Wednesday night, whatever you need, if you pray about it, God will either give you the need or he will show you what the need is you need to be praying about. But if you pray about it, if you desire it with all your heart, he will do it. But if I don't desire it with all my heart, I'm like that little kid in Walmart. I want that, I want that, no, I want that, I want that. I've got to say, Lord, give me the desires of my heart. All right. Let me be more specific, Lord. Give me the things my heart needs to desire. Amen. Yes. Let's just start out correctly. Let's put it in the right realm here. Lord, help me to desire the right things. Amen. There we go. And now, Lord, when you begin to put a desire in my heart, see, let's be real about, you know, our diets. You know, I'm on a diet right now since last night. And Brother and Sister Stoves, God bless y'all. We just swung by their house, went home with bags of food. We ate it today. It was so good. And so that's our diet, is we ate what they cooked on their grill. They are awesome, awesome cooks and hosts and wonderful people. And we were eating that and just thinking about, you know, what a mighty family is the Stoves. They know how to grill and anything else. You know, it was just wonderful. But I don't have victory over cake. Peach cobbler. I don't have victory over ice cream at all. But the diet I'm on right now, I'll write it down for you after church, but we bought this box of these little bomb pops, chocolate fudge with banana in them. And sometimes if I eat one of those, it'll help me not think I got to have a big bowl of the, you know, Bluebell. So that's my diet. That's smarter. It really is. These things are like 70 calories. They're tease. It's a tease. It's like really just get your appetite. But the thing is, if we all were to follow what we really desired, we would get in a cycle, wouldn't we? Go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you're going to have to do something about it. Well, doc, you know, I'm really trying, but, you know, I like what I like. There's a point where you got to take an exit ramp and say no to some things and say, I got to live a little bit longer, you know. I've got to do some things right. And that's truly what we have to do spiritually, is say, I've got to go back to what I was doing when I did well and do the first works. And there's going to be, and it all comes down to this one thing, that empty space. What are we going to do with that right there? Some of us, it's, what am I going to do with the spare time I've got? Do I got a Bible around? No, well, there's the remote instead of the Bible. We need to put the Bible in front of the remote. Or read your Bible on your iPad or your phone. We need to start eating healthy. Because what that does, it gives you a desire for healthy. You know you've gone on diets when you said no to the good stuff, and before long you truly crave turnip greens, which I crave turnip greens all the time. But you crave good things like that. You crave healthy things because you're feeling so good. Spiritually, that's so much more important than it is naturally. Thank the Lord for that. But we will get into a cycle, y'all. I'm not just trying to be funny here. We get into a cycle where we truly begin to crave what the Spirit needs. That's a realm. That is a realm that we need to dwell in right there. So verse 17, some were foolish through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They loathed any kind of food, that you couldn't satisfy them. Basically, they were sick of any kind of food, even to the point of dying. They said, we don't have a taste for it. Verse 19, they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destruction. Now, do you realize that the word of God has healing in it? Listen to this. The word of God has healing in it. Have you ever sat and listened to a Bible study or a sermon and something changed on the inside? I have. Brother Keith Clark passed away today. Me and Brother Cron were talking about him. I remember his first sermon I heard him preach. And I just sit there the whole time going, wow, where did he come up with that stuff? Heard him preach another one that was wow. And I said, he preached two great messages. That is just amazing. And every time I'd hear him, went to conference. He preached general conference. Just incredible man. And I've heard, really not just this week, but over the years, on forums I'm on with ministers and pastors, men talking about how he poured into their life, just poured himself into lives and helped ministers and anything that he could do. But it's because he was drinking from a fountain. He was doing the right things, and he had a taste for the things of God, the spiritual aspect of things. And here, but it says, they loathed any kind of food and drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. We get ourselves into trouble, and God, by his word, will get us out of our trouble and put us back in the right place. In verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them. and delivered them from their destruction. There is power in the Word of God. We don't need to miss a service unless there's a good reason, because we may miss the service where God is saying, here's your lifeline, get a hold, I'm going to pull you back up off the side of the cliff. But if we don't think God can do it, and we already write the service off as, well, it's just going to be a Wednesday or another cookie cutter Sunday, then you may be cutting the rope off that's going to save your soul. That service that I miss may be mine. That might be my way out of here. So we need to give it to God and say, Lord, I know you can rescue me. I'm going there waiting for help, looking for help. I'll tell you, when you're looking for God to help you, you can find a sermon that's headed in that direction, and you're over here, and you'll find something in it and grab a hold, and it'll confirm what you've been asking God for. I'm the pastor. People come to me all the time and say, you know, one thing you said, and I'm going, how did that help you? That's the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That was the Holy Ghost. All right. God is able to do those things like that. Amen. Because His Word is powerful. Thank God for it. And they cried in their trouble, and He delivered them. This is supposed to be simple. It doesn't seem right that it is so easy to me, though. They cried, He heard them. Well, the other part is, if they cried out to God, I think it's important that they cry out to God, but don't cry out to everything else. You know, we need to cry out to God and say, Lord, this is you right there. But we have to realize God is just and He's merciful. Oh, He will. My pastor always used to say, just reach up, church, just reach up. Because if you reach up as high as you can, God will reach the rest of the way down. But you got to be reaching up. And I'd remember that. And guess what? There was times I was on my back. I was like, all right, Lord, He said it. I need you to go ahead and do that. Yes. I need you to reach off the rest of the way down. Let me get a hold of this thing. Verse 21, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Yes. There it is for the third time. Let them thank the Lord. I don't ever want to stop thanking the Lord. Hallelujah. A testimony about my wife's eye. Well, they said that's what it would turn out like. Doesn't matter. I still want to say thank God for that. It could have been worse. I want to thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank God for good doctors. Thank God that we got there in time. I want to always thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds and songs of joy. You know what it's saying? Come to church and worship God in the worship part of the service and sing songs with thanksgiving in your heart, whether He's helped you this week or it's going to be next week. We got to give Him thanks. We got to give Him thanks. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have to give thanks to the Lord and offer those thanksgiving sacrifices and testify of God's good work. We need to tell everybody what He's doing for us. Somebody's going to be sitting on your ledge that you were on when He saved you, and they're going to say, all right, that's the God that I need. Amen. My fourth point, it goes into this part here. Some took up great ventures, and they still saw the works of God. Risk takers can see the work of God. Those that just walk by faith and say, I'm going to take a leap of faith. God will help you. Verse 23, some went down to the seas in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded God, He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. I think about Jonah when I read this. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Now, just don't miss this part here in verse 26. And it says, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. These were not doing things the right way. They had left God out of the equation. It was an evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men at their wits' end. The kind of people you may say, yeah, see there, see there. Yeah, that's what you get. But then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Again, I think of Jonah. All right. Because the reason he went the other direction, and he told God, he goes, the reason I didn't want to go to Nineveh, yes, I knew you weren't going to destroy nobody. Mm-hmm. I knew you were the God of mercy. Jonah, you really need to sit down and think about what you just said. You're upset at mercy because you knew that you were going to preach and those people were going to heed your word and repent, and God was going to go, I don't want to destroy them. That's what you're upset over. You ran the wrong way just for that. I hope I never get tired of seeing God give people second and third chances. I don't ever want to get tired of seeing somebody come back again and again and again. Preacher, don't they wear you out? You know what? God makes up the difference. Y'all know that. If you do the work of God, you know He makes up the difference.
Amen. Yes, He does.
We can toil. We can sweat. We can teach Bible studies. People cannot listen. They can go part of the way through it. They can leave the church. They can come back in. They can have excuses. It, all of that stuff is just, that's all on them. I just want to see them get a hold of God. One of these days, it might be that time, and they're going to get a hold of God. Betty Usselton was in our church when we went there, and I think she was there when we moved to the church there in 1964, because immediately her kids, you know, were coming. Her daughter was my sister's best friend and such, and they lived out in the country, and she was there every now and then, and they would pray her through sometimes, and I would hear my pastor's wife while the evangelist or the pastor was preaching, and she'd be sitting over here on the second row on the end and from the pulpit, and her face would be in her lap about halfway through the sermon, and she would be travailing. And I sat in front of her sometimes on the front row, and I would hear her saying, oh, God, save Betty, save Betty, save Betty. Betty would come to the front, they'd pray her through, or, you know, she'd get a breakthrough. And next revival, it was the same thing. And I saw this over and over and over again. And as a child, I thought, Sister Combs really needs to pray for some other people. Because I know what Betty's going to do. She's going to get up and she's going to walk out and never come back again until the next revival or whatever. I just, you know, I was a little cynic child. You know, I was already getting this, you know, I was figuring apostolic out, you know, and Lord helped me, I hope. And I got married, went home. Lo and behold, I thought, is that Betty sitting by a man? Mom, who's the man by Betty? Honey, that's JL, her husband. I said, that's the man she always talked about. I never met him. That's the husband. He was back there, raised his hands, just the brightest smile on his face, and they both was worshiping God. I'm talking about for 20 years, I saw the cycle.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. But one day, her husband followed her to church. And Sister Combs, all those prayers she prayed,
yeah,
finally paid off. And Mom and Daddy both got the Holy Ghost. And there they are, sitting smiling on that church pew. Yeah, they missed a lot of opportunities. They waited till they was pretty old. But I'm thankful that my pastor's wife never stopped praying for them. And it taught me a lesson. Folks, don't ever begrudge a person to come in here. Even if they've been here 12 or 13 times and you've watched them repent, you just pray with them and you love them, because one of these times, it might be that once that they finally conquer that devil, amen, and the mercy of God is so heavy and the love of God is so great that they finally break and they say, I'll never, ever go back there again. It was just too painful that time. Because we're just trying to save them, that's all. We're just trying to save them. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men at their wits' end. They cried to the Lord in their trouble and delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven.
Yes.
Now see, if I wrote that, I'd say, and He whipped them really good and brought them where He needed them to be in the first place. Ever do that again? No, He goes, that's where you were headed to. I just love everybody. I'm like, wait a minute, God. Shouldn't you be taking them over behind the woodshed? Lord, you should have a bigger woodshed, by the way, because I really never get to see people go back there. Mm-hmm. See, when they cried in their trouble, he delivered them. He made the storm to be still and the waves stop. Then they were glad, and God brought them to their destination. Well, sometimes when we get to our destination, we turn around and we see the God that brought us there and say, wow, we couldn't have been here without him. Let's rethink all of this. Let's put this in the right perspective. Verse 31, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. See, the writer is just saying, even them, they got a benefit from God and didn't know it. You know what that tells me? There's benefits out there that we don't even know God does. There's miracles out there. There's love. There's care that God shows to people that will never, ever acknowledge him. But he goes ahead and he blesses them anyway. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And very quickly, my last point, here is a summary of his mighty works. And this is where I got this thought, was these last verses of the chapter. He turns rivers into a desert and springs of water into thirsty ground. A fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He can do anything with anything. He's God. He turns a desert into pools of water and a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful field. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all the wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend unto these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of God. He loves the ones going in the wrong directions. He loves the ones going in the right directions. He will show mercy. He will show mercy. He will show kindness. He will show love. And we may not understand it unless we go right back to the source. He is a loving God, and he just loves doing good to his people, even if they cannot acknowledge what he's done. Let us stand, shall we? I'm thankful today that we serve this kind of a merciful God. You know what it really does to me? And I might be a little selfish here. If God will take the evil and do good things to them, how much more will he bless you doing right, praising him right, giving right, worshiping right, and requesting right? How much more? Because when he blesses you, you bless him back with praise. You bring a testimony before him. Isn't that right? We serve a merciful God today. He turns a desert into pools of water. He takes nothing and makes something out of it. There's a testimony waiting tomorrow. Somewhere in your day, you'll see something, and I'll promise you, there'll be a testimony. There'll be somewhere for you to praise God. Somewhere for you to embrace him and give him thanks. Let's worship him in song for a moment. Thank you, Lord.